I'm Ava Hartling. Welcome back to the Brand is Female podcast.
This season of our podcast is brought to you by TD Bank Group Women in Enterprise. TD helps women in business achieve success and growth through its program of educational workshops, financing, and mentorship. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and follow the link to find out how TD can help you.
Today, we're diving into the world of holistic nutrition and entrepreneurship with a visionary in the field, Kate Taylor. Kate is the founder and CEO of Nut Bar, a Toronto-based healthy cafe that is redefining the concept of on-the-go nourishment. Kate's journey into the realm of holistic nutrition began during her time working in PR at a Toronto hospital. Struck by the fragility of health, she embarked on a journey to explore the healing potential of food and nutrition. This passion led her to enroll in the Institute of Holistic Nutrition, where she discovered the power of superfoods. She then found her calling to educate and inspire people to feel their best through wholesome, nourishing foods. Fueled by her newfound knowledge and an interest in revolutionizing the coffee shop experience, Kate conceptualized Nut Bar. Her vision was to replace the typical sugary processed foods with delicious alternatives packed with nutrients and flavor. Since opening its doors in 2016, Nut Bar has blossomed into a thriving enterprise, boasting multiple locations and a growing line of consumer packaged goods, including innovative products like their frozen nut milk. Here's our conversation.
This podcast episode is presented by The Chain, a remarkable memoir written by Chimène Solomon. Join Chimène as she exposes a devastating truth of her relationship with a deceitful partner through her captivating storytelling, as she shines a light on the harmful effects of misogyny and the uplifting strength of sisterhood. I had a chance to read the book and was taken aback by its profound insights. This is a must-read for anyone who's been gaslit or coerced into disbelieving their own instincts. The Chain is Indigo's nonfiction staff pick of the month for May. Pick up your copy in store or online at indigo.ca. Kate, it's such a pleasure having you on The Brand is Female. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
If you've listened to the show, you know I like to start these conversations by trying to get to the origin story of my guest's journey. I'd love to know, as a young girl growing up, what did you think you'd be doing as a career later in life? And was it at all connected to what you're actually doing now?
You know, I don't think that there's such a linear link. It wasn't like, I want to own a superfood cafe, but certainly looking back.
You would have been a visionary if you'd come up with that.
Exactly. But certainly looking back, I can see some really strong links. So the first is when I was 10, I asked my mom for a cash register for my birthday. And oh, I know. Wow. And, you know, back then it wasn't like an iPad. It was an actual huge cash register that she later told me she had to source through about a million different listings on Yellow Pages. And I had this big cash register and I would label everything in my room and get my siblings to pretend to grocery shop or shop and I'd check them out. And I loved the idea of owning a store where people could come in and I would connect with them. And so, you know, something about this community hub or a space or place that, you know, there could be real human connection, whether that was, you know, an intuitive thing or not, there was something in me that just loved that idea from being a really small child. And also I was in drama and performing arts when I was young. And so that's another link. I just loved being in front or with people. I loved that human to human connection or interaction. And so definitely was never ever, you know, thinking about being an entrepreneur. It didn't, my, you know, that wasn't something that was like modeled to me in my family. There was, you know, I don't think that the idea was there. It just, there was really a central, I don't know, I guess, connection for building a community hub, being in front of people, making people feel good, all those kind of like underlying elements of what Nut Bar is today, I think are like deeply connected to who I am and what I love.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about not having that linear connection, but it's pretty linear. In fact, like you knew you wanted to have, as you said, have that hub, have that exchange with customers coming in to engage with you and in whatever way it would happen through. Was this something that kind of led you to choose specific studies or to pursue, you know, a specific type of training?
No, I went to Queen's University and I did a double major in English and psychology. So not at all related to what I'm doing now.
Always helpful.
But actually after university, I was working at City News in a newsroom, which kind of connects back to that, like, you know, being in front of people, telling people stories, being really interested in people. And then later went to work in a hospital setting. And it was in the hospital setting that I was like, wow, I need to learn about how to keep myself as healthy as possible, me and my loved ones. And so I enrolled in the Institute for Holistic Nutrition, and it was really there that I was just absolutely lit up by learning about the powers and potentials of these beautiful superfoods, how, you know, if we turn to sort of nature's medicines, how good we can feel if we are fueling ourselves properly. And so that really became the impetus to starting Nut Bar. So less about a desire to become an entrepreneur and more about a real passion for putting something into the world that didn't exist and being able to create something that could really help people feel good.
And what year was this? Because I think now we're hearing it's a little more mainstream to hear about superfoods. There's more, you know, offerings even in supermarkets. But even 10 years ago, and as I was saying before we started the interview, I'm gluten-free and dairy-free, and it's still a challenge for me in a lot of places. So 10 years ago, I mean, it was really just start of a movement. It was more in the US, but in Canada, there was virtually nothing. So how did you get on that path? How did you find out that this could be appealing to you and that you had an interest in natural health and superfoods?
Yeah, so this was, I went to the Institute of Holistic Nutrition in 2013 and 2014.
So early.
Very early. And I always joke that when I was studying for my exams or homework, and I would go to coffee shops around the city, the only thing to eat that wasn't a white sugar, white flour, bagel, croissant, cookie, scone, muffin, was the banana at cash at Starbucks. And I'm serious, like there was—
Which was always too ripe or not ripe enough.
Exactly. It wasn't exactly an ideal offering. But that just shows, like, there really wasn't anywhere, especially in Toronto, to go get super nourishing, healthy food on the go. And so when I was at the Institute for Holistic Nutrition, I would learn about these beautiful superfoods. So, you know, chia seeds and flax seeds and hemp seeds and maca and lacuma and spirulina. And I would make these really delicious, nourishing bites at home and give them to my family and friends. And everyone was like, you know, this is amazing and delicious and I feel so good eating it, but like, I'm not going to make this myself. Where am I getting this? Mm. And that's when I really started to think and narrow down on this idea of a healthy coffee shop concept. So not a full-scale restaurant, but a place that, you know, so many Canadians get their coffee and tea outside the home every day. I think it's like 80%.
Oh, wow.
A place that, I know.
I didn't know that. That
people could still get... you know, a really delicious coffee or tea, but pair that with something that wasn't only not bad for them, but was actually really, really good for them. And that was really core to the concept from day one. I didn't want to cut corners. I didn't want to do something that was just for a business. I wanted to do it out of a passion for providing something extremely nutrient dense and nourishing for people. So that's what, you know, Nut Bar has become and still is today, is an unwavering commitment to quality. So organic food, house-made nut milk, superfood focused, made in-house from scratch, really high integrity products. And yeah, the impetus really was to just offer something that did not exist in the market. And I knew people were starting to desperately crave living in busy, stressful, crazy modern day life.
Exactly. So you started with one location. What was it like when you first opened and what was the public's reaction?
Looking back, oh my gosh, I had no, you know, I often say, thank God I didn't know what I was doing, because I don't think I would have actually done it if I had known how insane this undertaking was. So I, you know, certainly did my research. I had all the products that I really believed in and a full lineup of menu items that were delicious and craveable and nourishing, and did my homework in terms of, you know, a business model and how many people I'd need to get a day. But, you know, opening a food business is just crazy. Obviously, it's a perishable product, and especially something that that's organic, like you can imagine, we all know the feeling of one organic avocado at home. And it's like, mm-hmm. we have to use it before it goes bad. And we, you know,
there's a 5 minute window where it's, where
there's a 5 minute window. So you can imagine getting a pallet of organic avocado. It's just, there's so many logistics and considerations. And mm-hmm. especially when you're using food that has zero preservatives or additives or shelf stabilizers, that learning curve was steep. And, you know, we learned it on the go because we had to, and thank God from day one, we were busy. So we were able to kind of, you know, keep the momentum going. Yeah. But I look back on some of those early days and it was crazy. Like we would run out of everything because we didn't have an inventory practice and we didn't know how many people were coming and yeah. didn't have the proper equipment. So I would call my husband at 1 a.m. and say, you need to come juice lemons with me because we're out of it and everyone's gone home. So a really wild ride, but I'm so grateful. Like, you know, what a journey to learn on the go and really push yourself to the absolute limit of what you think is possible. And it's so gratifying when you move through challenges and learn yourself. You know, it just makes you a better business person and leader. And yeah, I think it's made our business much stronger that we really had to be like, you know, we had to kind of be strappy and learn as we went.
How many locations do you have today?
We have 4 and we're about to open a 5th.
Ooh, congratulations.
Thanks.
This season of The Brand is Female is made possible with the support of TD Women in Enterprise. And they're about confidently building you. As a woman entrepreneur myself, I know I need all the support I can get. It takes sound advice plus guidance to the right connections, tools, and resources. What's great about TD services for women in business is their collaborative approach. TD can facilitate and connect you to workshops, coaching, and mentorship, and engage other like-minded business leaders in an authentic way, so we can share experiences and learn from each other. TD Women in Enterprise has banking specialists who are able to be proactive in the advice and guidance they give to women in business. Embark on an unforgettable journey through love, betrayal, and sisterhood in The Chain by Chimène Solomon, a gripping memoir that digs deep into the aftermath of persistent misogyny as Chimène bravely recounts her personal journey through powerful storytelling while challenging societal norms and celebrating the power of female solidarity. New York Times bestselling author Maggie Smith describes The Chain as a formidable book, a triumph of mind, body, and spirit. The Chain happens to be Indigo's nonfiction staff pick of the month for May. Pick up your copy in store or online at indigo.ca. What would you say? I mean, you've already mentioned like a few things that proved challenging and after starting out, but what would you say was the biggest obstacle? And was it was there a moment where you felt like, okay, this is going to be, I can't get over this, you know, this is going to put the business at risk. It might be time. Did you ever come to that point where you questioned, you know, moving ahead, or was it more of a, we've got this figured out, we're going to, you know, overcome whatever hurdle this is and then move on?
Well, I have the same answer as probably thousands of other people, which was COVID. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that was, you know, challenges as a business owner are many. Yeah. And
on daily. A daily basis.
It's daily. And that's what I would say, like owning your own business is just, you're in the business of solving problems.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that is nothing new. But the difference with COVID was that there was no playbook. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about, you know, how I operate day to day and how I navigate challenges or obstacles is, I always have a plan B. So as we're implementing anything, it's always like, okay, if this doesn't quite go as planned, it is always in the back of my head of like, how are we going to pivot? What are we going to do if this doesn't go as planned? Like you're always sort of carefully navigating the space to make sure that you're setting yourself up for success, regardless of which way something goes. And that's probably just an innate trait of any entrepreneur. It's like, you can't let the highs be too high and you can't let the lows be too low. You have to really center yourself in, being nimble and fluid and always thinking about backup options. But the thing with COVID was, as I said, it felt very stifling and suffocating because you couldn't almost have a plan B because there was none. And it was so hard to, like, tomorrow, we had no idea what tomorrow was going to look like. And that felt extremely stressful to just feel like I couldn't be kind of a rock for my team or be the person who was steering the ship because we just didn't know what tomorrow would look like. So a lot of heaviness and worry and concern, like, you know, we were all experiencing. And then on top of that, I had, a 6-month-old and a 2.5-year-old at the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And childcare was canceled. And so suddenly I was at home with two babies mm-hmm. and a business that was shut, and just the heaviness and enormity of the stress of that and worrying about my team and people not getting paychecks. And, you know, before government things and subsidies got sorted out, mm-hmm. it just felt like I could not get my head above mm-hmm. water. And that uncertainty, I find really, really difficult to not, mm-hmm. to not have a clear sense of direction. So, you know, like so many others, that kind of felt like the end of it mm-hmm. all. And in retrospect, it's kind of a beautiful opportunity. It made me, just sit for a second with what NUPBAR means to me and what it would feel like to have it closed. And, you know, just a beautiful opportunity to reflection and real realization of how much I love what I do mm-hmm. and how sad it would feel to not have it in the world anymore. And just, really kind of ignited a passion for making sure that we're building something that's sustainable and able to kind of survive whatever comes our way.
And what ended up being the saving grace? Was it the government subsidies or, you know, any similar program that helped you? Or, you know, what was kind of the light at the end of the tunnel during that time?
It was a couple of factors. I think the main thing that saved us was grit and resilience.
Yeah.
And honestly, just to say we are not giving up. And I love this too much. And I believe in what we're doing too much to just say we're done, even though at many, many times it felt like that was the only option. And so just friggin' one foot in front of the other every day to say, how can we pivot? How can we get money in the door? How can we make people feel safe? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my head of operations and I, when everything was closed, we were getting no money in the door, but still had bills to pay. We built a website overnight, put products on it, opened it up for delivery. And, you know, the two of us would go in, pack all the orders that would come in. And while my kids had their nap time, mm-hmm. My husband was working in the basement. I would sprint out the door. I knew I had like a 2.5-hour window, drive as many orders as I could around the city, come back, you know, put them to bed, mm-hmm. go do it again at 8 p.m. And yeah, that just like survival instinct, which is like, I think an essential skill for any entrepreneur, just to keep going when things feel impossible. Mm-hmm. And then slowly, but surely other things started to, you know, the momentum was kind of coming our way. So customers, orders were just like overwhelming us with the support from our community. Grants started to come in, subsidies, you know, there was some kind of communication about things opening. Like, it just felt like as long as we didn't give up, doors started to reopen again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you stayed open and were able to apply that grit and resilience. Was there a moment, and maybe this was, you know, before COVID or maybe after, you'll tell me, but when did it feel like, okay, this, you know, this is actually working out. Like, this might actually be something I can do for many, many years to come. And you've opened more locations since, and I know that's been a development in recent years. So maybe that's it. But what was kind of the turning point when, you know, you started believing like, okay, this is actually going to work?
You know, what's interesting is I've had that feeling since day one. Like, there's never been a doubt in my mind that it was going to work. And again, maybe that you just have to have that blind optimism to be crazy enough to do this. But I never, ever felt like, oh, hopefully, you know, this works. It just felt like as long as I keep working this hard and I, you know, me and my team, we're going to be able to create something that works. But to tune that in a little bit more, I really believe it's been in the last year. So essentially, once we were kind of fully out of COVID and could see real traction and numbers, I've deeply felt like we are onto something really special and the momentum is behind us. And we've spent, you know, 5 years like building an incredibly solid foundation and brand. And COVID was probably really helped with that, that it gave us the time to like dial in our systems and build our community and take time to do things we might not have otherwise had time to do. Mm-hmm. That now it feels like the sky is the limit. It really feels that we have a foundation that we can grow upon. Mm-hmm. And so that's incredibly rewarding. And also, you know, worth reminding people that that doesn't come quickly or easily, that it's years and years of honing your product and building your community and focusing on like drilling down instead of just drilling wide. And I think it's really tempting in this world of bigger is better to just look for that exactly, like bigger is better. But I think there's a lot of value in building a foundation that's able to sustain long-term growth, especially within the context of such a rapidly changing world.
Anyone in, you know, the food industry, service industry, you know, we know those are not easy businesses to be in. They require a lot of personal time and investment and energy. And we know since COVID, there's challenges around, you know, finding staff, quality staff, you know, customer service. And you've managed to grow during that time. So how do you plan for growth? And did you have to bring in anyone to assist you? Or do you have, you know, trusted advisors that that kind of provide input? But, you know, how do you plan for growth? Essentially, what does the process look like for you?
We've grown, as I alluded to in my last answer, we've grown very steadily. So I, you know, didn't want to bring in other business partners. Like I have an incredible team who helps me. By no means is it just me, but in terms of outside, I really wanted to do it on my own. So I don't have business partners, and that was really intentional. I want to be able to create the life and company that I dream of it being, instead of being accountable to outside, you know, shareholders or people who are just focused on the bottom line. And I knew that if I was building a business truly based on integrity of product and culture and people and all of that, that I couldn't be beholden to people who were focused on the bottom line. So growth has been, you know, I say slow, but again, that's slow is relative,
it's relative.
Like it's relative. It depends who you're comparing it to. Yeah. But I've never had kind of that, like, within 5 years, we need to open this many locations. Yeah. And, you know, I've really focused on making sure that to be able to level up to the next step, we feel we have a foundation in order to do that. So, you know, that meant a perfect example is like, during COVID, while things were slow, we were like, let's build our own nut milk facility. Let's bring everything in-house, manufacture all our own nut milk, come up with a new nut milk product that we can sell to people so that like all of our stores are kind of this really tight, cohesive unit. It's a closed loop supply chain. You know, we're responsible for our own product, and then that will help us grow because we're not we're not like relying on somebody else or somebody else's product or integrity to help us. And so, now I think, as I said, because we have this amazing foundation, I feel really confident and comfortable about leveling up in a way that we haven't before, which means opening locations quicker than we have before. So as I said, we're opening one this summer and then probably another one a couple months after that. And I take it very sort of quarter by quarter. Like how does my life feel? Honestly, I mean that, like, I'm a mom to three really young kids, and with every step of this process and journey, it's like a deep internal check-in of, am I tilting too far in one direction? A good like practice for me is I always kind of zoom out and look at my life from like 10,000 feet and say, how does this feel in my body? Like, am I a present mom? Am I prioritizing the business? Like, what's the big piece of the puzzle? And that's the way that growth works for me and our company, to be super intentional about it, to ground in like what matters, what's important, to make sure we're never compromising integrity of the product or people. So maybe a little bit of an unconventional answer, especially in the business world, but that's what's worked for us so far.
Yeah, no, and good for you. And I think there's more entrepreneurs, you know, doing it that way. There's also we hear a lot of horror stories about founders who have taken investors, you know, with that goal of growing faster. And then the partnership is not always what it seems at the start. And as you said very well, it's hard to find partners whose interests are completely aligned because they're in it as an investment. They're not in it for the intrinsic values of, you know, what the brand represents. And I think you should be really proud of having, you know, managed to grow that much and keeping things organic and in-house. You've talked about, and going back to even your dream as a little girl, you know, you've talked about kind of that interaction with community. How does Nut Bar go about building community, and how what do you find has worked well in terms of creating that authentic connection with your audience?
The best thing that has worked for us is just being authentic. So we're really not trying to be anything.
Good answer.
That we are not. Yeah. Like I, you know, I think we're all feeling just the oversaturation of messages and marketing and filters and everything on social media where it's like really difficult to navigate like what feels real. Yeah. And so our ethos of Nut Bar, our messaging, like everything we do just tries to ground in like a soul of the company and the message. It's not, we're not. And I think that over time that has really started to resonate with our customers. Like we're not trying to do any of this to like jump on a fad or, you know, get our bottom line or hook you on something. It's just a true passion to help people feel their best and do it in a way that feels honest and transparent and fun and delicious and all of that. And so I think when people can feel that there's like a depth and a soul and like a realness and transparency and integrity to a message or a brand, that connects to like a like a primal kind of humanness in people. So I can't assume, but I'd like to believe that we've been able to garner a group of people and a really passionate, involved, dedicated, supportive community because of exactly that, because there's like trust and value in the brand and that, you know, we are really helping people feel good, and that's addictive and contagious. And I like to think that our community is helping us support other people to do the same.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said. What's next for you? And, you know, you've talked about being intentionally slow in your growth, which again is relative. I don't think your growth is that slow, but you are intentional and very much, well, I would assume self-financing in terms of new projects and anything that requires capital. But what's next in terms of, you know, your vision board for Nut Bar over the next few years?
Yeah, Nut Bar to the moon. I'm really excited about this next stage. I just feel like a confidence and a clarity around our potential and what we can do. And, you know, I often talk about how crazy it is for human beings to navigate modern day life, like the stress of living in a world where it's artificial light and bings and pings and traffic and, you know, like not grounding to the earth and just the chaos and the stress. I just love the idea of creating a business that can deeply nourish people and help them navigate this world that we're living in. And certainly a huge piece of that is the food that we're putting in our body. But I think that what I love to think about Nut Bar is extending that piece of a pie to just live a life and, you know, help people live a life that can help them feel their best. So, you know, lots of education around tips and tricks to support deeper sleep and consistent energy throughout the day and why consuming adaptogens is important and why these like micro moments for mindfulness aren't just like a fad that we're talking about now. It's actually essential to be able to tune into ourselves and something bigger. I'm doing a lot of that work myself, just like, as I said, that idea of zooming out, practicing all of it, like, you know, mindfulness, gratitude, presence, and with young kids really helps you do that because it's so fleeting. Moments in the business, just, just really spreading the message as far and wide as we can of truly helping people feel their best.
I can't think of a better mission for any endeavor, any business. I know you recently launched a new product called Bar Milk. I'd love to know where the idea came from and how it's working out for you.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. So Nut Bar, what makes Nut Bar special is that we make our own nut milk in-house. So it's like, oh my gosh, it's liquid gold, basically. It's 30% organic nuts, whereas the average box nut milk is only 2% nuts. No preservative, gums, fillers, processors, anything. And for years, customers have been asking to be able to purchase it for at-home use. But the problem is without as you know, without any stabilizers, it only has a 3-day shelf life. So it makes it very difficult to transport or for people to store. Mm. So what we did is we created a product called Bar Milk, which we take the concentrate of the nut milk and we flash freeze it into almost like a freezy picture. So you can stock your freezer with it. You can buy a big bag and bring it home. And then it's in these individual serving sizes. So when you want to make a really decadent, luxurious at-home latte or smoothie or coffee or matcha, you can thaw it very quickly, run it under hot water, put it in the fridge and froth it, and you have liquid gold. So very innovative new product on the market. It's a way to get people the most nutrient dense, luxurious, delicious nut milk in the world. And so we're really excited about that. You can find it. It's all in all Nut Bar locations. And then we're also starting to expand into a lot of different retailers.
Ooh, so exciting. What would be 3 pieces of advice you would share with women in business or anyone in business really who might be in a similar industry, might be, you know, serving food, might be in the category in general? What are 3 tips that you'd like to share with them?
So the first would be very clear on what you want your life to look like. You know, it's very easy to get lured in by this idea of being an entrepreneur, but you have to be very mindful of what that means that you're giving up. And are you ready to do that? And who are you doing it for? You know, I talk often about this idea of like bigger is better and more is more. Like, we live in a world where that's what we're prioritizing. And just making sure that people are going into this very consciously and very clearly of why are you doing it? And what do you want your life at the end of it all to look like? And just make sure that, you know, or something that has worked for me is constantly coming back to that as your guiding compass for how your life feels, what decisions you're making, what you're prioritizing, because it's very easy to get lost in all of this. So being clear on that from the outset, I think, is really important to keep coming back to. I think the second thing, especially for women, if you're looking to go into this industry or start your own business, is meet as many female entrepreneurs as possible, because the power of the women to women support network is the most beautiful, empowering, inspiring thing. And women can really lift each other up and help and, you know, be open resources to share information or make introductions or be your biggest cheerleader. So that's a great way to just get a bit of a lift as you're going into this and ask for help, ask for questions, ask for advice. And then the third thing, honestly, is just do it. If you feel that burning passion inside of you to start something, I think it's always better to try than to regret it later. Mm. So just one foot in front of the other and just friggin' do it.
Well said. I love all 3 answers. This, you really nailed very important concepts for anyone who's thinking of going in business. So thank you for that. Kate, it was fantastic hearing more about your story and Nut Bar's journey. So can't wait to see what you do next. Nut Bar to the moon. And I'm so grateful you took time to speak with me today. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the Brand is Female podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you to TD Women and Enterprise for their support of the Brand is Female. You've got it in you to succeed. Let TD help guide you. Visit thebrandisfemale.com to learn more.